Today, a hope of many years' standing is in large part fulfilled. The civilization of the past 100 years, with its startling industrial changes, has tended more and more to make life insecure. Young people have come to wonder what would be their lot when they came to old age. The man with a job has wondered how long the job would last. This social security measure gives at least some protection to 30 millions of our citizens who will reap direct benefits through unemployment compensation, through old age pensions, and through increased services for the protection of children and the prevention of ill health. We can never insure 100% of the population against 100% of the hazards and vicissitudes of life, but we have tried to frame a law which will give some measure of protection to the average citizen and to his family against the loss of a job and against poverty-stricken old age. Seems to me that if the Senate and the House of Representatives in this long and arduous session had done nothing more than pass this security bill, Social Security Act, the session would be regarded as historic for all time.
Welcome to this edition of Echotones. I'm Joy LeClaire. You just heard the words of President Franklin Delano Roosevelt as he signed the Social Security Act into law on August 14, 1935. In celebration of the 90th anniversary of its enactment, Big Sky 55, an organization composed of Montanans 55 years old and over, which works to bring people of all ages together to work on solutions that make life better for Montanans of all ages, is sponsoring a 10-stop road tour that will take place between August 11th and August 14th. As part of this celebration, national expert on Social Security Alex Lawson, who is the executive director of Social Security Works, will be speaking in Bozeman, Montana on the actual date of the 90th anniversary at noon on August 14th, 2025 in the Masonic Lodge at 14 South Tracy. He will speak about the successes of the program as well as the very real threats to accessing it and the harm occurring to the system that disproportionately affects rural people. We invited Alex Lawson to join us on Echotones, and we spoke with him on July 29th, 2025 via Zoom. Welcome to Echotones, Alex Lawson. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Alex, you will be coming to Bozeman on August 14th to speak at the Masonic Lodge in celebration of the 90th anniversary of Franklin Delano Roosevelt's signing of the Social Security Act. Now, this is part of Big Sky 55 Plus's 10-town tour that they're calling Social Security 90th Birthday Roadshow from August 11th through 14th. That is a very ambitious schedule, to say the least. In addition to your being the executive director of Social Security Works, you are also the convening member of the Strengthen Social Security Coalition. Tell us about the coalition.
Social Security Works is the convening member of the Strengthen Social Security Coalition, which is a national coalition made up of big national organizations like the AFL-CIO and also local organizations like local Montanan organizations all across the country, united with one vision, which is to protect and expand Social Security, which is in line with the original vision of the New Deal. When FDR signed the Social Security Act into law, he didn't say, and now we're done. He said, this is a cornerstone upon which we're going to build. And Francis Perkins, who is actually the brains behind most of the New Deal policy, She always envisioned an ever-expanding system of economic security, covering more and more people and providing more and more economic security as this country got richer and richer and workers were able to produce more. And if you look at the numbers, this country is so much richer than it was when Social Security was signed into law. It's so much richer than it was just 40 years ago. The only problem is that in those last 40 years, all of that wealth, all of the wealth that the workers have created through increased productivity has actually been sucked up by the billionaires, and it has not gone to the workers who created it in the first place. And so because of that imbalance, we think it's critical that we not only protect Social Security, but also expand it. Unfortunately, we are spending more of our time fighting these disastrous attacks on Social Security now than we are able to advance legislation to expand it. But I always say we only lose if we forget what we're fighting for. And so it's important to note that what we are fighting for is an expanded Social Security system.
And the Strengthened Social Security Coalition is made up of over 340 national and state organizations who represent over 50 million Americans. I think it's helpful to remember that when this was promoted and finally passed and signed into law in 1935, it was the depths of the Depression. It was a global depression. We were on our knees in terms of what we could envision as doable given the economics of the time. Thank goodness for Frances Perkins. She's certainly one of my heroes. She had the vision to, in fact, my understanding is FDR had to promise her that he would do something like Social Security before she even agreed to be his Secretary of Labor at the beginning of his administration. So this was the fulfillment of that promise to that woman. And so for those of us who think, oh, I'm just one person, I can't do anything to make change, she is certainly the antithesis of that concept, isn't she?
She really is remarkable. Although I would also say she would be the first to say that she was standing on the shoulders of millions of people who were demanding this for decades and decades, right? So the depths of the Great Depression, it's important to remember how we got there, which was through decades of the billionaire class at the time getting everything, right? They were hoovering up all of the gains of the workers. You have the robber baron era, the Gilded Age, the billionaire class at the time, Wall Street, creating a rigged system where workers were exploited. But there was this solidarity amongst the people saying, hey, we want a system where we get to retain the fruits of our labor. And the New Deal and Social Security, it's not the end, but it is a high watermark of that fight. So she was incredibly important for so many reasons, but also couldn't do it alone because it's only through mass popular movements that we get these big changes. What I would say she was amazing at in seeing in the depths of the Depression, there were a lot of people who were just trying to solve the issue at that moment, right? The crushing levels of unemployment when some places in the country, one in two people out of work, things that are unheard of and had never been seen before, right? So they were focused on just fixing that problem. But that's not what Social Security and the New Deal were actually focused on. Yes, it addressed the situation at hand, but it also built a system that helped prevent that same problem from happening again. And it did that by creating an engine against the inequality that caused the Great Depression in the first place. And so you look at Social Security as one part of the New Deal. The other pieces, like the creation of the minimum wage, the enshrining the right of workers to collectively bargain and form a union, those are all part of the same thing, which is a fight against the billionaire class, Wall Street, from getting everything, so that there's nothing left for the people. And now look at where we are again today, with levels of inequality that are actually higher than those that preceded the Great Depression. And this is the same problem. And that's why the billionaires, they hate Social Security. Wall Street hates it because it works. That's why they spend so much time attacking it. That's why you had Elon Musk, literally the richest man in the world, go on stage with a chainsaw, lie about Social Security being rife with fraud. It's not. Or being inefficient, it's not. It's the most efficient system you can imagine. Administrative costs under 1%. 99 cents of every dollar paid in comes back to us in the form of benefits. Vanishingly small levels of fraud. So Elon Musk held up that chainsaw, took it right through the heart of Social Security, not because of what he said. Those were lies. And the president, Donald Trump, repeated those lies in a joint session of Congress. The reason that they're attacking Social Security, and let me tell you, it is devastating, the attacks that have already succeeded, is because they hate Social Security, because it is an engine against inequality. And that's why we need to actually understand the motives of those attacking it, and then redouble our efforts to expand the system. And that means making billionaires like Elon Musk pay the same rate into Social Security that all the rest of us do. Right now, he only pays in on the first $176,000 of his income. After that, he doesn't pay in a nickel. And all we're saying is, you get the billionaires to pay the same rate into Social Security as the rest of us do, and we can expand the system for everybody. That's why the billionaires are trying to destroy it. They don't want to pay the same rate as the rest of us. They want to pay nothing. They want us to pay and for them to sit back and collect our money. It's coming right out of our pockets and going into theirs in an upward redistribution of wealth, not directly on Social Security, but it's the same people with the same attack. The Republican budget that they just passed, that's the largest redistribution of wealth, upward redistribution of wealth that has ever occurred in this country. It's literally moving money directly out of poor and working people's pockets into the pockets of the richest people this world has ever seen.
Speaking of Elon Musk and his chainsaw, share with our listeners what has happened just since the inauguration of Donald Trump on January 20th, 2025, in terms of the Social Security Administration.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that this is only way less than a year in. It feels a lot longer than that. But they had 5 years to plan and they moved very quickly. The main thing that they did is they pushed out or fired 7,000, but it's going to be 10,000 workers at the Social Security Administration. And they focused really on the most important jobs, a lot of stuff in the IT department, the people who actually ensure that the system functions. And we're already seeing massive disruptions, the website going down, not just on the front end, but definitely on the front end, meaning people trying to access information, but also on the back end, meaning workers trying to access information. At one point, the states went in to look at the database and there was just no information on SSI recipients, which are IT experts, generally the people who were pushed out. They say, look, these are all giant blaring red lights. These disruptions in the system are evidence of a cascading failure that will end in checks not going out. And that is going to be a catastrophic outcome. Now, what makes that worse, and especially worse for Montana, is that when you pushed out 7,000 to 10,000 workers from an already understaffed agency, it had the lowest level of workers in 50 years, and you have 10,000 baby boomers retiring every day. We need more workers, certainly not less. What you end up with are offices where there used to be 16 workers in an office and now there's one. You have offices that are closing. They closed offices across this country. And in a place like Montana, if you talk to politicians in D.C., they're like, oh, well, they can just go to the next Social Security office over. You know, Montana, that could be just hours and hours and hours away. And Social Security serves everyone. That's true. It is a system, a universal system. It definitely is critical for the most vulnerable in our society as well. The old people with disabilities, the exact people who are not going to be able to just go to the next Social Security office. So basically what we're seeing is office closures, restricted hours, the phone line has been just destroyed. So people can't get through. If you try to go to the office, they say, oh, well, you got to make an appointment. So you try to go online, the website's not working. So you try to call them, you're on hold for 5 hours and then it drops you. That's not me talking. Senator Elizabeth Warren did an investigation and found the average wait time was around 5 hours, but that more often than that call was answered, it was actually you waited 5 hours and then the call was dropped. And so it's devastating consequences. And again, I want people to understand that this is not like an oops. It's not like they didn't mean to wreck the system. That's exactly what they meant to do. That's what Elon Musk went on Joe Rogan's podcast and openly talked about. They hate Social Security. They do not want it to work. The strategy is to wreck it so that they can rob it, so that they can privatize it and hand it over to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And it's just, unfortunately, a lot of my job right now is going around the country and telling people, look, for 90 years, through boom and bust, through war and peace, through pandemic and health, Social Security's never missed a single payment until now. And now we can't trust what's coming out of the Doge billionaire's mouths, the current commissioner, also a billionaire and calls himself a Doge guy. He said he had to Google what the Social Security commissioner was when he was offered the job, because he knows what his job is to do the bidding of the billionaires, which is to decimate, devastate Social Security. So they've been extremely successful at that. The disruptions are ongoing and they have devastating personal impacts on people. But the message I have to deliver around the country is that it's going to get worse. It's not getting better. They're not interested in fixing it. Everybody who knows anything about this says it's going to get worse. Now, we're fighting every step of the way and we've slowed them down. We've had them make some reversals. They were going to close all the offices. They were going to shut down the phone system. They were going to force 500,000 people who receive paper checks to go into offices to sign up for their online accounts. And we knew that that was going to overload the offices. That was the design. So we fought that. They reversed that. But they're going to keep on coming at the system until they get what they want, which is a catastrophic collapse. And I am going around the country, around Montana, with a very ambitious schedule, but I like talking to as many people as possible because it's so critical. We have to fight for political advocacy, right, to change the policy. But I also need people to understand they need to protect themselves. They need to protect their families. They need to protect the most vulnerable in their community, whether it's whatever network they're part of, a faith community, their church, a book club. People know who are the most vulnerable people in their neighborhoods and their communities. And right now, we need to take care of ourselves and each other, because this beautiful system that Francis Perkins envisioned and then implemented, that really is about us taking care of us, has been devastated by the billionaires led by Elon Musk and Donald Trump, and now continuing under this guy, Frank Bisignano. So it's a really bad situation. And unfortunately, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And we need to be prepared. We need to fight back, but we also need to be prepared.
When Doge invaded different agency offices, one of the things they made sure they did was to extricate data. Did that also happen at the Social Security Administration? In other words, did they garner, for who knows whose use, private information of anyone in the Social Security? Well, Any worker is in the Social Security system, right?
Correct. And they did. It was one of the first things they did. The former acting commissioner, a true public servant, said, this is unconstitutional. This is illegal. I'm not going to give you access to the American people's data. If you or I access somebody's Social Security file, that would be a felony. So how is giving it to these unelected DOGE goons? It's a bunch of like 25-year-olds who've pledged fealty to Elon Musk and maybe Donald Trump as well. They plugged a computer in, downloaded all of our data on every single person in this country. And it's not just wage data. It is wage data. But Social Security also has a lot to do. So all divorce data, all of a person's medical data, if they are touching the disability system or a loved one is, it's so much personal data. It's hard to fathom. And for what end? To what end have they stolen this data? I think it's important at this moment to note that Elon Musk is not a car salesman. He's a data broker. And the billionaires make their money. What is Google? How did it make its money? Data. What they just stole is the priceless data of the American people. And why? It's to try to control us. They also ripped benefits away from people who were legally, the benefits were theirs. They've earned them. They ripped those benefits away from them at their whim. So why have all this data? So that they can choose who gets what based on whether they decide you're with the program or against them. It's a really scary situation. When they did it, there's this guy, this mid-level bureaucrat, Leland Dudick, after Commissioner King said absolutely not and stood up to Elon Musk and DOGE in an incredible act of bravery, which is what public servants take an oath to the Constitution, not an oath of fealty to a billionaire. She was pushed out. She was fired. And this mid-level guy turned it over. He turned over the keys. And then they made him the acting commissioner of Social Security for showing his fealty to the billionaire, Elon Musk, and not to the American people whose data was entrusted to him. So it's a really despicable situation. And then you do have a Republican, an active partisan Republican Supreme Court, who then allowed this data theft and usage to continue. Now, it's still being challenged in court, and we're still fighting it every day. But that is where it stands. Stolen our data, and they're using it against us.
Once they have it in their possession, I mean, whatever the court says, I wouldn't trust that it was safe. Let's put it that way. And could you clarify something? You referenced Acting Commissioner of Social Security Administration, Michelle King, who had been in the agency for more than 30 years. Was she fired, or did she resign rather than allow the invasion of the data?
This is this little trick in DC. It is a little bit like The Godfather. Some people are given offers that they can't refuse. It's firing in different words. She was absolutely, her job would have continued if she'd given the data, and did not continue because she did not give the data. That was put to her that way. So oftentimes in DC, when we say pushed out, that might come with like a letter of resignation or something of that nature, but it's not a voluntary one. So what happened is she stood up. She said no to the billionaires. The billionaire said, there's the door. They looked around for some goon who would be willing to do their bidding. And they found him in Leland Dudick just for that. Right. This is a guy who's like in the middle of the agency. He's a nobody, a nothing. Sorry. I think that this is one of the most despicable things that I've seen in the agency. He abrogated his duty, gave the American people's data to the billionaires, and then was promoted to acting commissioner for that. But I think what everyone should know, and what was obvious to, I think, everyone, that guy's a patsy. The billionaires weren't going to, he doesn't go to their cocktail parties. He's not a billionaire. So as soon as they were able to get their guy, Frank Bisignano, another billionaire, in at the top of the agency, they pushed Dudik overboard. He spends his days yelling at me on Twitter now. And it's just a really sad episode, but it also shows the path forward. And the hope is that there are more Michelle Kings out there than there are Leland Dudiks.
You mentioned the 10,000 quote unquote baby boomers who are entering their benefit reception every day. And I am among them. And my experience at the other end of the lack of infrastructure in the 1950s, for example, when this baby boom actually happened, there weren't the schools to deal with the huge number of children coming in. In my first and second grades, there were 60 children in my classroom. And now we're at the other end of it, where those of us who made it through to age, the infrastructure is again not there for this boom in population. On the website for Social Security Works, I was able to find an article called Statement on the 2025 Social Security Trustees Report.
So what the trustees report is, every year, the most knowledgeable people about Social Security, generally the Office of the Actuary, they're looking at the system from every which way and saying, are there any problems that we should look out into the future and be able to fix? And so every year, what the trustees report shows is that Social Security works amazingly well. It works better than anything else you can sort of think of that the government is involved in. And that's why Social Security is the most popular government program around. And what I think is funny is when I say that, it's like one of the reasons is because it really doesn't, it's not a government program, right? It's the people we pay in during our working lives, and then it's there for us when we need it. Wall Street's not involved. It's not like it's coming out of the general fund, the budget, from income tax. No, it's our money. The only issue that the trustees show every year is that the billionaires like Elon Musk, they don't pay in on all of their income. They only pay in on the first 176,000. That's the cap. Because of that cap and the fact that the billionaires are taking all of the gains in productivity, most of the wealth that's being created in this country is going to the richest people. If you mix those two together, the billionaires have stolen Social Security's future. What you try to do with a system like Social Security, the baby boom generation has pre-funded their retirement. The baby boom generation goes until, this is with actuarial projections, 2065. And so the pre-funding was supposed to get Social Security all the way through the baby boom generation. Important to note here, the baby boom generation is not the biggest generation. It was a huge generation at the time, but it was a bulge. After the baby boom, the millennials are bigger than the baby boom. So then the millennials take over. That's how the system should work. But because the billionaires are taking all of the money, it has created an imbalance. But it's really important to understand that the chief actuary says this every year. It's not because this country is getting older in some unforeseen way. We knew exactly how it was going to go. It's not because there's higher rates of people collecting disability benefits. That's not at all true. It's not because immigrants are coming in and taking the benefits, which is something you hear from the Republicans again. That's factually not true. You cannot receive Social Security benefits unless you're a citizen. None of those are the reasons why there's an imbalance. It's the billionaires not paying the same rate as the rest of us. That's the problem. Now, what that's caused is that in 2033, maybe 2032, after the latest Republican budget, there's been estimates that it's pulled in even more. So in under a decade, if we don't do anything, then benefits across the board, benefits for every person on Social Security today and in the future, will be cut by around 17%, 17, maybe a little higher. Absolutely catastrophic, devastating consequence if we do nothing. But again, the solution is really simple. You just have billionaires like Elon Musk pay the same rate as the rest of us. And we have 8-ish years to make that happen. And now you get the full picture of why Elon Musk, the richest man in the world, he does not want to pay into Social Security on all of his income, earned and unearned, because he doesn't want to. He wants to pay nothing. He wants to continue to take tax dollars, not to pay taxes. And so he is trying to destroy Social Security before we are able to address that structural issue that the billionaires have created. And I know it's a little bit complicated, but if you really just get through to people that the billionaires don't pay in on all of their income the way the vast majority of the American people pay in on all of their income, and because of that, in under a decade, everyone's benefits are going to get cut by around 17%. And so those same billionaires are trying to destroy Social Security before we're able to address that and have them pay in on all of their income. This has been a fight that I've been involved in for 15 years. I've seen the same story told over and over again. There's a massive amount of misinformation out there. This is a billionaire-funded campaign of misinformation against Social Security. But this one fact, if we can get it into people's heads, they're just like, oh, well, that's easy. And that's the truth. It's not a hard problem. Billionaires don't pay the same rate as all of the rest of us do. And if we just have them pay the same rate into Social Security as the rest of us do, then there's not only no problem, there's no structural issue. Benefits won't be cut for everybody in 8 years. In fact, we can expand benefits for everybody.
In talking about how to address this, I mean, it would take an act of Congress to make the changes that you were just speaking about. Were you then referring to the Social Security Expansion Act?
You know, I'm talking generally about, because there are a bunch of bills, all Democrat. The only bills Republicans have ever put forward on Social Security are to cut benefits, most of the time more than that 17%. Democrats have proposed expanding Social Security and paying for it by getting billionaires to pay in on all of their income. Now, there's multiple bills out there. The Social Security Expansion Act is a great one. Increases benefits by $200 a month for everybody, plus targeted increases for those who need it most. Again, pays for it all just by getting billionaires and the richest to pay in on all of their income, just like the rest of us. And so it's important to, when I say just like us, like picture what that means. A minimum wage worker pays in on all of their income and they're able to live. So I'm supposed to believe that Elon Musk is somehow going to be put out by paying in on all of his income if a minimum wage worker is able to do it? Come on, it's a joke. It's all about them protecting their upward redistribution of wealth. And the American people get that. That's the thing that we need to get into people's heads. It's just the simple fact that billionaires do not pay in on all of their income. And if they did, there would be absolutely no issue with Social Security. In fact, we could expand it for everybody. And that's why the billionaires spend so much time trying to destroy Social Security before we can have an act of Congress pass a law that requires them to pay in on all of their income. And I've watched for 15 years as more and more Americans wake up to the fact that this is not a complicated issue. It's not hard. And it's obvious and common sense that billionaires can pay in on all of their income just like the rest of us do.
Now, when one is eligible for Social Security, and we really should probably remind our listeners that it's not just retirees who benefit from Social Security. Widows and orphan children and people on disability also are part of this system. But for now, let's talk about the retirees. So associated with that is eligibility for Medicare. That's administered differently, right?
Administered, yes, absolutely. Medicare is not administered through Social Security Administration at all. It's under Health and Human Services. HHS is an agency called the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and they administer Medicare for the American people.
It's probably beyond the scope of your work or this interview to talk about the big bad bill that was recently just passed, the tax and spending bill. But to your knowledge, does that impact, well, certainly Medicaid, but does that impact Medicare?
Oh, yes. It's absolutely a core focus of ours. So not beyond the scope of our work. And, you know, I think it will probably come up on our tour in Montana as well. The Republican budget destroys Medicaid, and it's done. It's not in the future. It's now. It's law. $1 trillion has been cut out of Medicaid and healthcare. What that means is rural hospitals across this country, across Montana, closing. Nursing homes across this country, across Montana, closing. One in two people in a nursing home, a skilled nursing facility, is paid for by Medicaid. You remove that, and the other person, right? If 50% are paid for by Medicaid, doesn't matter if you are, because the system relies on it. So the nursing home closes. So everybody is impacted. If you're like, oh, well, I live in a population center, so my hospital's not going to close. Well, guess where everyone's going to go to when their hospital closes? Your hospital. So the quality of your care is going to go down. There's no hiding from this. And does it cut Medicare? Absolutely. $500 billion directly out of Medicare. Republicans lie about everything. They said they weren't going to cut Medicaid. They cut $1 trillion out of it. They said they're not going to cut Medicare. They cut $500 billion out of it. You know, they said they were going to release the Epstein list. Yeah, don't hold your breath. So they are liars. They've said that they're just going to fix that Medicare budgetary impact, the $500 billion out of Medicare. But what they don't talk about is that actually the most devastating cuts in terms of those that lead most directly to death, according to Yale, which did a study, the Yale School of Public Health did a study on the deaths that would come from this bill. And an enormous amount of them, most of them, come from two things: the closing of those nursing homes, because this is the most vulnerable population, and also the Medicare savings program, which is affecting somewhere 2 million-ish people who are the oldest of the old, and they're going to be covered, basically seniors who are also very poor. And they are, it's just ripped right out from under them. And as a population, they're incredibly vulnerable. So most of the deaths, which have been estimated at 50,000 new deaths a year because of the Republican budget, the so-called Big Beautiful Bill, which is as Orwellian as you can get, this disaster, this immoral attack on the American people. 50,000 deaths a year that otherwise would not have occurred. And the primary engine of those is actually within the Medicare population, meaning seniors.
Well, the cynical among us might posit that this would alleviate the need for Medicare if people die off. So problem solved. But anyway,
I have like a little like dialogue that I often go through. It's the policy person talking with the cynic. So the truth is, you know, you might be like, oh, well, you know, they were old. They were going to die anyways. They weren't going to die anyways. Specifically, that's what the Yale study looked at. And so the reason I'm saying that to the cynic is the next generation will also have the 50,000, right? It's every year forever now. so that people don't die off, because the ones who die this year, well, there's 50,000 more are going to die next year. And again, as people age, they're going to find themselves in the same situation. It's not a problem that can alleviate itself because of the way, I don't know, time and generations work. Because again, the baby boom is not the largest generation. So these cuts don't, it's not like they're just aimed at the baby boom generation. The next generation is hit just as hard. Gen X will get hit by this. Millennials will get hit by this. All the way down to my children's generation alpha will get hit by this. So it can't address itself when you destroy a system. But that's what they're doing. Once a hospital's gone, it's never coming back. And that's done. We have to, again, unfortunately, go around the country and tell people that they need to protect themselves. They need to understand that this is happening. This is coming. And the effects are already happening right now. People's premiums will just skyrocket very soon. So it's not just Medicare recipients. It's hitting everybody. That's sort of the takeaway. There is no cynical view unless you're saying cynically, as long as the billionaires can buy another golden helicopter, then everything is fine. Policy implications of this are extremely clear. Tens of thousands of people will die every year. There will be huge swaths of America, rural America, that have no more hospitals. A hospital is not just a place to go when you break your arm. It is. But in many places in states like Montana, the hospital might be the largest employer in a county. Being the largest employer, it's also the largest provider of insurance. And all of the associated businesses that service that hospital, the job losses and economic losses associated with this, along with the deaths, is just enormous. And I don't think that Americans have a true understanding of the magnitude of hurt that is happening right now and will just get worse.
Alex, in addition to the road tour that you are going to be doing in Montana, are there other such tours? For example, some of our listeners are in Northern California.
Yes, we're always doing a lot of stuff. And also, this Montana tour is part of a larger campaign effort called Protect Our Checks, which you can find at protectourchecks.org. And we're building it out over the next 3 weeks. We're going to have dozens, hopefully hundreds of events across the country at Social Security offices or other places that people are comfortable hosting a rally. We think the easiest is you just go to your local Social Security office, but you can find a map of the events right now. And if there's none near you, you can sign up to host an event. You know, we give you all of the materials you would need to do it. We help with press turnout. We help with getting people there as well. And so this tour and the Protect Our Checks campaign, these are just some efforts that around the specific birthday, August 14th. But we will continue to travel the country to get the word out. I will say, just really specifically, Big Sky 55 is a remarkable partner. So we don't have another partner anywhere like Big Sky 55. The amount of work that they're putting in to organize this tour is enormous. So I do think that this one looks special because our partner is so amazing. But if anybody else wants to have experts come, me or our other experts come and talk about Social Security, answer questions, that's what we do all the time. But I would just sort of leave it with right now, if people are interested, I'd go to protectourchecks.org, see if there's an event near you. If there's not, sign up to host an event and we will help you make it a success. And what that looks like, what a success looks like, is getting the word out to people about the devastation at Social Security Administration to protect the office, the local office itself. We have found we've been able to back them off of closing offices just by standing in front of them and getting the press there to talk about it, that they have reversed plans to close specific offices. And so this is going to be a long fight and we're not going to stop. So we'll be doing as many. Give us the opportunity to speak with people about what's happening and how they can fight back. And we're going to take it.
It's understood that the most severe of the Medicaid cuts won't take effect until after the 2026 elections. In fact, soon after them. Is that also true for Social Security or Medicare?
There's two parts to that. One, the Social Security cuts have already taken place. They're going to do more, but they've already decimated the Social Security Administration and continue their attacks on workers. They're making it the most hostile work environment possible. They're pushing out all of the expertise and bringing in politically loyal people. And you don't have to take my word for it. You can read all about what their plan is across government in Project 2025, published by the Heritage Foundation. But in Social Security, the cuts have already been done and, you know, they're going to get worse. On Medicaid, it's also important to note, like, yeah, you know, technically some of the dates are right after the election. And that seems like it's set up to be tricky to get them so that no one's going to notice or it'll happen after the election. But the truth is, when you cut $1 trillion out of Medicaid, when you have a rural hospital collapse, when you have nursing home collapse, that's not good. They're not waiting. These industries were already massively consolidated and they weren't like starting in a good place. We're already midway through a rural hospital collapse because of Medicare Advantage, privatized Medicare. So the effects are going to happen today. And the policy person who looks at this, I've seen the same television interviews where they breathlessly talk about how sneaky it all is. But the truth is, people are going to see the premium spike like next month. 2 months at the latest, September at the latest. And these are not little increases. They're massive. The hospitals are closing today. There's already hospitals that have closed directly because of the Republican budget. So no, unfortunately, the effects are not in the future. They get worse over time. That's for sure. It ramps up. The cruelty ramps up. But the devastation will happen right now. And we just need people to understand that. We need to not let people not understand that this isn't just like, oh, well, things seem to have gotten a lot worse just randomly. You're like, no, this was perpetrated on us by the billionaires. I think the closest analog to the Republican budget is in another country. It's Brexit, where the billionaires convinced the British to actually lower their standard of living an enormous percent. So everybody's lives got worse, except for the billionaires who made out like bandits and took that cash and put it straight in their overseas bank accounts.
Alex Lawson, we're pretty much out of time. KGVM will be at the Masonic Lodge on August 14th at noon when you'll be speaking, and we're going to be recording your remarks. Final words for our listeners before we say goodbye for now.
The story is bleak, and I understand that. But it's also, unfortunately, it's my job to make sure that people understand what is happening and how bad it is. But never forget also that Social Security was formed in the middle of the devastation of the Great Depression. Right? From these really bad places, through adversity, solidarity grows. And yes, the billionaires have all of the money, but we have people. And people is where power comes from. So as long as we never forget what we're fighting for, we're not going to lose. We just need to get organized, raise our voices together. One person's voice, like Francis Perkins, can be immensely powerful, but millions of people's voices standing together, shoulder to shoulder, raising our voices together, cannot be ignored and will change the world for us, for the people, not for the billionaires.
Alex Lawson, thank you so much for joining us today on Echo Tones and informing us about what is actually happening now. We look forward to seeing you on August 14th at the Masonic Lodge at noon, when you'll tell us in person what's going on.
Thank you so much for having me.
You have just heard a conversation with national expert on Social Security, Alex Lawson, who is the executive director of Social Security Works. He will be speaking in Bozeman, Montana, on the actual date of the 90th anniversary of the signing into law of the Social Security Act on August 14th, 2025, at noon in the Masonic Lodge at 14 South Tracy. It's part of the 10-stop road tour taking place between August 11th and August 14th, sponsored by Big Sky 55, an organization composed of Montanans 55 years and older, which works to bring people of all ages together to work on solutions that make life better for Montanans of all ages. You can find out more by going to bigsky55.org. SocialSecurityWorks.org or ProtectOurChecks.org. KGVM will be there to record Alex Lawson's talk at noon on Thursday, August 14th at the Masonic Lodge on 14 South Tracy Street. We'd love to see you there. Echo Tones is a Beyond the Deep End production hosted and produced by Joy LeClaire for broadcast and archiving on KGVM FM and KGVM.org. KGVM depends on your financial contributions to continue bringing you quality programming of, by, and for our community. And you can do your part by going to kgvm.org and click on the Gold Support KGVM button at the top of the page. We thank you for listening and for supporting our listener-sponsored community radio station, KGVM Bozeman.